It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Crazy stuff happening all over today. Mm-hmm. Wacky, busy afternoon. You got the Oklahoma City airport shooting. You've got a shooting on the Eisenhower. The inbound Eisenhower is shut down at Racine, pending a shooting investigation and accident. And we have got the Earth has opened up in Washington D.C. It's like a gigantic chasm, and it's sucking people into it.
Certainly feels like it.
Yeah. So David Axelrod is with us, joining us. I hope and pray, as we like to say in our little line of work here. I hope and pray that you're not in Washington being sucked into the hole.
No, I'm in Chicago on terra firma.
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong here? All right. So let's talk about. Let's talk about this transition. First of all, I know I've heard you speak on this issue over the last couple of days. What it was like for you guys in the Obama administration coming in? You know, it's a change of parties, it's a change of all of that political staff that's coming in and out of the White House, and there are a lot of last minute decisions that have to be made. Now, you guys had a pretty good indication that there was a good chance you were going to win in 2008, so had probably started the process in earnest a little sooner than the Trump administration has thus far. But given where they are now and they're making these decisions, for example, Secretary of State Rudy Giuliani, his name got floated. They're doing things that are not all that dissimilar from past regimes. Pardon the expression, you use the media and, you know, you throw out a name, you let it, whip around Capitol Hill, whip around Washington, D.C., the Beltway, and then whip around the national media. And then that sort of does some of your tumbling and drying for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Although there's something else going on here, and I can't exactly put my finger on it because I'm not inside there. But, you know, there are two factions here, and they were reflected in the appointment of Steve Bannon, you know, from Breitbart, who famously, you know, has been associated with some pretty provocative stuff, racist and anti-Semitic kind of tracks in that world. And then you have Reince Priebus, who's sort of a regular Republican who represents the Washington establishment. You see Pence, Mike Pence, incoming VP, shoving Christie out of the way and taking over the transition. I think there's a tug and pull between different forces here, and it's a reflection of the fact that I think Donald Trump thought the election through. I don't think he thought through this part. And
I have a theory, by the way. I want to just run this by you. And
yes.
Feel free to use it as long as I get credit. Okay. You know, everything okay. we've learned from The Godfather, right? I mean,
yes,
I think that's,
exactly.
That is pretty much true. So
yes.
If you just go to the beginning of Godfather 1,
okay.
You see what is happening here is that the Godfather here, Donald Trump, is putting around him people he can trust. So he's got Tom Hagen, who is basically Reince Priebus, guy who's going to get things done, an executive type who's dispassionate about all this, and he just needs to run the senators properly, mm-hmm. right? Then you've got the Steve Bannon, who's like Sonny, hot-headed. We're not sure where he's going to go. He wants to – he's scorched earth. He wants to tear everybody down, kill everybody. And now he's got Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, is like Michael coming back from the war. He's coming back, and he's going to be the guy that everybody's going to have to eventually go through to get to the Godfather.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, what I make of it is I saw all three films and it didn't end well.
I know. That's the point. None of these doesn't end well for anybody, and especially for Sonny. Sonny barely makes it through one. Spoiler
yeah.
alert.
This could be bad,
it wasn't
right?
good for Sonny. He didn't even get through the first film.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about Steve Bannon for a second.
Go ahead.
Steve Bannon is going to have this problem because he seems to be mistrusted by everybody on Capitol Hill, and he's a political liability because all of these quotes from him over the years, and, you know, forget about his the divorce filings and all that, because that stuff tends to get washed out. But the quotes, you know, on radio and in public and other things that he has said, I mean, he is a scorched earth guy, and I don't think anybody's going to want to really cozy up to him.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because he basically is at war with the Republican establishment in Washington. And now it appears as if Trump is sidling up to the Republican establishment in Washington. And how Bannon survives in that environment will be interesting to see, or whether he tilts Trump in a different direction. But remember, this is Trump ran against this establishment. But what's happened here is, you know, you have to run a government. You have to fill these positions. And so I think there's a recognition belatedly that what do we do now? It's a little bit like the end, since we're into 1970s movies, sort of like the end of The Candidate, yeah. You know, where Robert Redford says, well, what do we do now? I think there's an element of that here. I think Donald Trump had figured this thing out all the way up to Election Day. I don't think he expected to win. I think he was surprised, as everyone was, at 8:30, 9 o'clock Tuesday night with the recognition of this. You could sort of see it in his face when he was in the Oval Office there, when he was contemplating the sort of awesome responsibility that is now his. And, you know, so Bannon, it'll be interesting to see how he functions in that environment. It's going to be a lot of tug and pull.
You know, it seems like loyalty is one of the things that, at least so far, with the names he's floating and the names that have already come out, that loyalty is a key in terms of being, you know, put in that space where you would be part of this White House. Do you think it's wise, and do you think he will reach across the aisle, bring on a few Democrats, bring on some independents, some other folks that weren't necessarily part of the Trump team?
I think that loyalty is very important to him. As we can see, flattery is very important to him. And he's got a very small universe of people who were loyal to him throughout. And so it limits his choices. I also think, everyone is watching his steps. But particularly watching is this base of his, this Republican base, those who were with him and those who weren't. And so I don't know how much latitude he thinks he has in making these appointments. The names that we've heard certainly aren't cross the aisle kind of names.
No.
You know, they're more scorched earth kind of names. Jeff Sessions, Rudy Giuliani, Bolton.
Hell, when Michael Flynn becomes the most, when my blood pressure barely goes up, when they say, well, Mike Flynn could be, and then they say everything, but Secretary of State, head of the CIA, mm-hmm. head of the Director of National Intelligence, National Security Advisor. Yeah, I mean, it's like, and they've got him for everything because he's like one of the few adults that people seem to be able to understand, at least, where he comes from. Rudy Giuliani is interesting because mm-hmm. Rudy Giuliani is, obviously people, he's well known. He's a guy that they talked about for attorney general. For some reason, that doesn't seem to be in the play. It's Secretary of State. But now, all of a sudden, because of his international business dealings with Giuliani and Associates,
right.
And because of his paid speeches, where have we heard this before? Because
right.
of his paid speeches, all of that is coming up, and that stuff may come out during.
Well, listen, just on that subject, you have Mike Pence now saying he won't release emails from his governorship. You have Giuliani with this problem with paid speeches and outside clients. You have the president-elect looking into security clearance for his kids, even though they're going to be continuing to run his business, presenting a huge conflict of interest. A lot of the issues that were of great importance to Donald Trump a week ago seem not to be as important to him now that Hillary Clinton is no longer his opponent. But listen, let me just say this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm an American first. And the thing that worries me is, Democrats lost the election, and the nature of democracy is you lose the election, you don't get to decide a lot of stuff. That is totally and completely our system. What worries me is I know the job of president, and it worries me how little he knows about the job of president. And it worries me that they're scrambling to fill these positions now. The whole sort of slapdash nature of this thing seems concerning because of, these institutions have to run. And so My bigger concern about the president-elect now is not ideological. It's not philosophical. I got plenty of those. It's just functional.
Operational.
Like, how's this going to happen? How's this going to work? And Priebus, actually, in that regard, was mildly reassuring because he is competent. He is knowledgeable. He has been around.
He's got people.
He's an institutional guy.
Yeah.
And you need a few of those to make the thing work.
You know, I this is one that I had a lot of criticism of Donald Trump during the campaign, but chief among them was this. He doesn't have anybody. He didn't have anybody around him. He couldn't actually populate his own convention with legitimate voices. You know, he was having casino owners and daytime reality stars and things like that, daytime TV stars. I mean, there were people in prime time. He couldn't find people who wanted to stand by him there. Now he's going to find people who are the people who you may have sort of lost earlier battles, were exiled for their own, you know, eccentricities, let's call it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, some of those people are on the first of the list to come in and run the nation, run the business of the nation. That's a little scary. Let me say something. I want to get your comment on this before we let you go. So John McCain stood up today and he said about the relationship between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And they had at least a phone conversation, a phone exchange in which they congratulated each other. And what McCain says about this is we should place as much faith in the statement, essentially, that Vladimir Putin wants to improve relations with the United States as any other statement made by a former KGB agent who has plunged his country into tyranny, murdered his political opponents, invaded his neighbors, threatened America's allies, and attempted to undermine America's elections. This is a Republican.
Well, I think he means that in a good way, though, in a nice way. I don't think he meant it.
What?
I don't think he meant it negatively. Look, John McCain has been virulently anti-Putin and anti-Russian, Russia for a very long time. This must have made this whole flirtation with Putin clearly must make his blood boil. And, you know, this has been concerning throughout. The fact that Trump wasn't willing to acknowledge, despite the verdict of the intelligence community, that the Russians had, in fact, hacked into the Democratic National Committee, hacked into Podesta. The fact that he suggested that he might not defend Eastern Europe against Russian aggression. The fact that he said he didn't know what he would do if Russia pushed into Ukraine. The fact that he says, you know, when he's raised questions about our relationship with NATO generally, all of these things are hugely consequential, particularly to the Europeans, and very emboldening to Vladimir Putin. To someone like John McCain, there isn't a more provocative thing. So I'm not surprised that he said what he said. And remember, he just got reelected. He didn't get reelected particularly with the help of Donald Trump. And he clearly, you know, Donald Trump earlier in the campaign, you remember, said he didn't consider John McCain a war hero because he got captured.
Right.
So, you know, I suspect, but I'm not sure, that John McCain probably remembers that.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that's true. You know what? And we got to let you go. But, David, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. By the way, the book Believer, even more relevant today than it was a week ago, if you want to pick that up. But it's David's memoirs about his life
in
politics. But you also have in that there's a Trump story.
Yes.
Oh. So I think people
Trump? Yes,
people should look that up.
Okay.
People look that up because that's all over the press.
All right.
So go ahead and do that. David Axelrod, thank you, my friend.
Good to be with you guys.
All right.
Thanks, David.
We have got Vila Potomac with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots and Crime Report.